So the name of this week's Torah portion is Terumah. And so if you're reading the first few lines, Vadaber Yahweh El Moshe Leomer Debar El Bnei Israel Vayikhu Li, and then Terumah. So there's the actual word. Most of the rest of the words you would find in a consistent phrasing in many of the other actual beginnings of paragraphs or portions. And so it's named after the actual concept, which would be the Terumah, the offerings that are being mentioned. And if we were to translate that, it would say, Yahweh spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel that they may bring me an offering. This is not a tithe. This was an offering. And that's what's important here. Now, I'm going to tie this Torah portion into another scripture. So don't worry, we're not going right to the Torah portion, but we will get to it. So if you're going to be opening up your scriptures, we're going to Acts chapter 5. I do have it up here. So when we get to Acts chapter 5, we have these two characters, Ananias and Sapphira. And they're going to bring an offering. And it seems like a simple story. They're going to bring this offering, but it goes tragically wrong. We have two casualties. Both die pretty quickly and unexpectedly. So I wanted to try to understand that, and it really connected. A lot of times people will go, well, the God of the Old Testament is not God of the New Testament, because they talk about the idea of judgment versus grace. Of course, they must miss Genesis 1, beginning of Genesis, not Genesis 1, but Genesis 3, that Yahweh does not kill Adam and Eve when they sin. There's no death there, so mercy's given. But we also see here, well, I guess it's the same God because they did something wrong and Yahweh took care of it. So, Acts 15, 1 through 2, but a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold the possession. Now, they don't say, it could be a piece of land. We're not sure. But he kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also being aware of it and brought a certain part and laid it at the Talmudim, the apostles' feet. Now, the goal here is they're going to act like they're giving the whole offering, but they're actually not giving the whole offering. That's the concept that's going on. And you'll see later that everybody else is doing the same, but they don't feel comfortable giving it all because whether it's concern about tomorrow or there's a concern, this is important to us, we can't give it all away for some reason. And she's in part, she's a part of it because also being aware of it is the phrase that Sapphira is just not going along. Like, she isn't going, I don't like this, but I'm doing it. She agrees. It goes on to verses 3 and 4. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep part of the price, the land, for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after you sold it, was it not under your control? Why have you conceived this thing on your heart, that you have not lied to men, but you have lied to God? Verses 5 and 6. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, breathed his last. So great awe, it says fear, but it'd be great awe, came upon those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Now the story goes on from there in verses 7 and 8. Now it came to pass, about 3 hours later, when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened, Peter answers her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, yes, for so much. He's basically testing to see if she's in league with him. Then Peter said, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of Yahweh? Look, the feet of those who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in, found her dead, carried her out, buried her by her husband. Now again, we read this, and a lot of us can sit back confused. Why? Why so bad? What's the significance here? What's he trying to teach us? Acts 5:1, just to continue, so great awe came upon the congregation, upon all those who heard these things. So like, oh boy, I'm concerned. So what's going on? Well, here's our Torah portion. So if you want to go to Exodus 25, we're going to verses 1 and 2. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they may bring me an offering from everyone who gives it willingly with his heart. Could be from his heart as well. You shall take my offering. So he's asking for an offering, but notice he has somewhat of a qualification here. I only want the offering from those who want to give it. Okay, so he sets it up that way. Now, verses 3 through 8, and this is the offering you shall take from them, gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, onyx stones, stone to be set in the ephod, in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary that I might dwell among them. So he's asking for this offering. Why? To make him a sanctuary that Yahweh can live among them. And notice the point is, among who? The community Israel. So there's a connection between giving this offering and creating a sanctuary. Now, if we went over these things right here, and you wanted to compare to what you had, go home and find the most treasured things you have, worldly treasured things, and that's what Yahweh's asking. Now, remember, you're going to be moving through the desert, so this is actually a blessing, because you know what? Because you get rid of these things, you don't have to carry them anymore. As rabbis said in the past, these things are not going to be of much value in the middle of this journey for 40 years. Or even the year if they'd gone into the land. But realize too, all of these things were worldly treasures. Mm-hmm. And if they're worldly treasures, to give them up, then there's a change occurring. We'll get to that in a minute. Exodus 35 is later in the book, of course. See, Exodus 25 is when Yahweh speaks to Moses saying, when you get down, do this. Exodus 35 is when it's happening. So 35:9, take from among you an offering to Yahweh. Whoever is a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to Yahweh, gold, silver, and bronze. Now, in the same chapter, he continues verse 20 and 21. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. Then everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing. And they brought Yahweh's offering for the work of the tabernacle meeting, for its service and for its holy garments. Notice again, whose heart was stirred and whose spirit was willing. Who wanted to support, who felt that they owed something to Yahweh, and they were actually... You get this feeling like they were excited to be able to give him something. Verse 22, they came, both men and women, as many as had a willing heart, and brought earrings, nose rings, rings and necklaces, all jewelry of gold, that is, everyone who made an offering of gold to Yahweh. Now, I want to look for other examples where Yahweh was building a community. And in a community, they were having to bring and give, right? And then it was then used in regard to it like an offering or being shared. So first I went back to Acts, and this is 3:39-41. For the promise is to you and to your children, to all those who are far off, as many as Yahweh Elohim will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were mikvah, baptized, that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. 3,000 souls were like, I want to get out of this generation. I want to go to come to Yahweh. In this regard, they're giving their lives to start off with. Acts 3, 42 to 45. And they continued steadfastly in the Talmudim, the students, the apostles' doctrine, teaching, and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear, this again would be awe, came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and they all had things in common. And they what? They sold their possessions and the goods and divided them among all as anyone had a need. So they came together as a community and said, you know what? We have all these things. If we take them together and we're going to sell some, we're going to share them, we actually can actually take care of each other as one community. We can be built into a community. We can be built into a tabernacle. Right? Well, you say, well, Rabbi, that's one example. Right, one of many. Let's go to another one. Actually, let's continue and we'll go to another one. Acts 3, 46 to 47. So continually, daily, with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising Elohim and having favor with all the people. And Yahweh added to the congregation daily those who were being saved. Daily, people were going, I want that. So here's my other example, Exodus 16, 16 and 17. See if this sounds familiar. This is the thing which Yahweh has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need. One omer for each person, according to the number of persons. Let every man take those who are in his tent. Then the children of Israel did so and gathered some more and some less. Now they're gathering manna. And what they're saying is, by need, they went out. And some gathered a whole bunch. And some, well, they didn't gather very much. Right? Now watch what happens. Verse 18. So when they measured out by omers, those who gathered much had nothing left over. And he who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. What's intriguing is you'd go out going, I need a lot. And you may gather a lot. And when it came back, it was given to the community and then it was measured out by need. So that no one didn't get enough. And no one got too much. You might think, what's the big deal? When you're in the middle of an area that doesn't have a lot of food, and there's a 1.5 million of you, the idea of being, say, throwing some food away when someone else doesn't have enough is not going to work in a community, because you know what? You're going to have strife. You're going to have battles going on. Why did Ananias and Sapphira need to die? That also goes to a Torah portion that was not too long ago. Behold, I will send an angel, that can also mean messenger, before you to keep you in the way and to bring you to the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. Now I want you to put it back and think about Ananias and Sapphira for one moment before I go on. Did they come giving with a willing heart? No, they did not. Did they come with concern for other people? No. They came with the reality of, I wanted to look like I have a willing heart that I trust completely, but I don't. To some degree, this would be like the metaphor wolves among sheep, right? Someone who's not a believer hiding among believers. Now, what I find intriguing is that Yahweh was setting up a tabernacle. You had two other individuals who did not stand in awe of Yahweh's presence. And what happened to them? Fire came out and consumed them, too. And by the way, their bodies were also carried off to be buried. I don't think that's by accident that these two are here. I don't think it's by accident. You don't come in this regard going, I'm going to lie to what the Spirit's touching my heart about. Nor do you come with an unwilling heart to give. Yeshua says, if you've done it for the acknowledgement of man, then you already got what you wanted. But that's not going to be acknowledgement from God. Acts 5, 3 for 4. I just want to read back what Peter said to him. Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart? Notice what his heart is filled with. To lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself. While it remained, was it not your own? And after you sold it, was it not your own? He could have decided to keep it the whole time. Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? Notice where he conceived it. That you've not lied to men, but you have lied to God. You have lied to God. Lessons. So what are some lessons we can take from today? One, now, these lessons, you have to sort of think about them for a moment. For Yahweh to live among us, we must open the storehouse of our life and give to Him our treasures with a willing heart. If Yahweh is going to live among us, it will never occur if you're not willing to give of the treasures of your life. Yahweh is a jealous God. He's going to give you of His treasures. He wants the same. Store up your treasures in heaven. Now here's the important part. There's this interesting transfer of treasure. The people give it. All that treasure now makes a what? A tabernacle. What's the purpose of the tabernacle? So Yahweh can live there. Okay? So what you have now is a transfer of you treasuring the gold, the silver, and the gems to you treasuring time with Yahweh. And this transfer of treasure will happen your whole life. And Yahweh will test you. Because you can see Abraham, he finally gets his son at like 100, and Yahweh goes, you know what? Remember that son you've been waiting your whole life for? Give him to me. Sacrifice him. If a treasure gets between us and God, trust me, He's going to come after it. He's going to come after it. And we get to the rich man. Go back to the parable. The rich man goes through a number of the parables Yeshua spoke of. You cannot have the love of the world or love of getting rich and love of God at the same time. Don't get me wrong. What I'm not saying is I'm not preaching the reality that Yahweh is calling us to be poor. So just give away without thinking. At the same time, we've got to be careful because everything of the world shines beautifully. In freely giving from our hearts, we become treasures needed to build a tabernacle. Here's the reality. By giving, what you gave is like a part of you. So by doing so, you're being built. And notice the tabernacle is made up of all these different pieces, but there's clasps. They all connect to make one thing. Every one of us in this room, if we will give from our heart, are being connected into one tabernacle where Yahweh can meet as a community. But we are joined by the openness of our heart. That's what we have in common. That and the treasure in Yahweh. We, the community, are built into a place for Yahweh's word and glory to reside. These walls are meaningless. The fans, the air conditioner, this lot is meaningless. Look around you. This is Ariel. This is a tabernacle of Yahweh in this area that He has built so far. And we're blessed. we, this blows me away, we become a port of entry. We become a port of entry for the kingdom of Yahweh. Think about that for a moment. You become the doorway into the kingdom of Yahweh because you provide a place that Yahweh can live, thus other people can come and meet and spend time with and learn. But it all starts with Exodus 25:1 and 2. Those whose hearts are willing to give so that he can tabernacle among us. Bless Yahweh.